Coming up on show 1477, Stealth Bomber is here. The Foxconn Fisker vehicle is confirmed. Stick around and we'll get you up to speed. Also on the podcast today, we are talking about Tesla Giga Shanghai. Output is to return to pre-lockdown levels sometime today. Jay Leno tells the Ford CEO Jim Farley that he's a truck guy after driving the Lightning. And the Volkswagen ID.4 GTX sets a Guinness World Record for EVs. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It is Tuesday, 24th of May, and Martin's still off on his holidays for the rest of the week. I'm Blake Boland, and I've gone through every EV story today so that you don't have to. Well, let's move on to our headline story. The stealth bomber drops a bomb. Foxconn Fisker vehicle confirmed. Well, what do we mean by stealth bomber? Well, let's go to the article from Cleantechnica. Now, author Jennifer Sensiba says, and I quote, "In a previous series of articles, I explained the Taiwan-based Foxconn, also known as a Honhai Precision Industry Company, is going to be a serious player in the EV industry, but that you probably won't hear much about it. And why is that? Because it's going to be the stealth bomber of manufacturers," end quote. So, what's the background? What's going on here? Well, a few days ago, Fisker announced solid plans to build the PEAR. That's the P-E-A-R, all capitalized letters, a little bit like we get with the Leaf, the L-E-A-F. And it's going to be working with Foxconn to build this vehicle in Ohio. Now, it's supposed to happen sometime in 2024, and the starting price is supposed to be below $30,000. Now, we don't know what the PEAR is going to be yet. Fisker have teased this with a little 45-second video on YouTube. I've watched it, and we can tell nothing, apart from it's got an outline and it has lights, really. That's about it. But there's talk of sort of a... They're saying that it cannot be classified, so this might be some sort of a crossover hatchback style. We don't yet know. Now, they're hoping, after a ramp-up period, to make 250,000 units of this per year. I mean, stellar numbers. And if they can hit a price point like $30,000, give decent range, nice style, which you're kind of going to expect anyway from Fisker, this could be a real winner. Let's move on and talk Tesla for a moment. Now, Giga Shanghai output is to return to pre-lockdown levels by Tuesday, which is today our time. So what's going on here? Well, an internal memo sent to Tesla employees, this is according to Teslarati.com, said that the automaker plans to have production levels at its Gigafactory Shanghai back to pre-lockdown levels by Tuesday. The plant had faced a three-week hiatus in production in April after a surge of COVID-19 cases in the city caused government officials to determine a shutdown was appropriate. Now, they're saying that daily output will return to 2,600 on Tuesday, according to the memo seen by Reuters. The document said that there were around 1,000 units produced on Monday, and the weekly output would move closer to 16,000 cars every 7 days. Now, this COVID-19 restrictions, the latest round of it in Shanghai, has made a substantial impact on workforces in the area. Tesla, along with many other companies in the Shanghai region, have been really short on workers, as well as restricted with parts due to supply chain issues and scale back production due to the shutdowns. And just to stay on that note for a moment, but go over to InsideEVs.com. Well, they're reporting that the company wants to, Tesla that is, move workers into dormitories and keep them in a form of closed loop all the way up until June 13. So with two shifts running 24 hours a day, Tesla's Shanghai factory may be able to return to pre-lockdown daily production, they say, of around 2,100 vehicles per day, which is different from the 2,600, according to Teslarati.com. But currently, the facility is running at about 45% of capacity, and auto parts suppliers are also at around that level. Now, a local government official said this at a briefing last week, and this contradicts a statement from other local government official who said in early May that Giga Shanghai production was back at over 80% capacity. So it looks like there's a little bit to play out with this, and we'll see how production goes, because we are crying out for Teslas coming over from Shanghai, where I am. I got to drive one of them a few weeks ago. What an experience that was. Let's talk trucks and trailers for a moment, but we're going to take a step back to a report that was a couple of months ago on InsideEVs.com just to give us a bit of background. And the headline at the time was BYD receives US's largest electric truck order from Einride, a Swedish company. Now, at the time, they had ordered 200 Class 8 BYD HTT battery electric day cab trucks. Now, these things had 563 kilowatt hour batteries, LFP that is, and a range of up to 200 miles. Fast charging power peaked at about 185 kilowatts. But let's fast forward to some more modern and current news, because Einride's new trailer, it comes with an integrated 320 kilowatt hour battery pack that can extend the range by up to 400 miles, which is absolutely fantastic, because we know that we really need range in these trucks. It's great to say, look, let's electrify everything, let's get all the trucks electric. But if they can only do 150, 200 miles and there isn't adequate charging on those routes, it's going to be so much more difficult. There's so much around this between the infrastructure that we need to develop in the meantime. So getting extra range from these trailers, what can you do with it, like cooling, refrigeration en route? That extra energy is going to be hugely valuable. So great to see. Now they're talking about having production ready for initial piloting in 2023. So it's a little bit away, but look, fingers crossed for them, and hopefully they hit the numbers that they're talking about. Well, as we approach the halfway point, folks, I think it's time for me to pop down to the kitchen and get myself a glass of water, and we can catch up on the ad breaks. But wait, because if you don't want the ad breaks, of course, you can get yourself onto Patreon for your ad-free feed. The support that Martin gets, and he says this to me so frequently, is I cannot believe the lengths that people go to. And it really, really helps him get the show on the air and cover a lot of the costs that go on in the background that we don't really know about. If you want to do that, it's patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. I'll be back in a moment, folks. Welcome back, folks. Well, let's talk about the EPA announcing $500 million in funding for electric school buses, according to Charged EVs. So what does the article say? The EPA has announced $500 million in new funding for school districts and other eligible bus operators to begin replacing the nation's fleet of school buses with American-made zero-emissions buses. Now, this is really, really exciting because they say also that portion of the rebates can be used to install charging infrastructure for the new buses. And this rebate program will select awardees through a lottery system. But let's back up a minute there to the charging infrastructure. And it's really exciting because I'm a big fan of vehicle to X, vehicle to load, vehicle to home, vehicle to grid charging. I think it's hugely exciting. And if you just think about these buses, how long are they going to be parked up per day? Do they spend a couple of hours in the morning, a couple of hours in the afternoon getting kids to and from school? Is that 20 hours a day? Then on weekends, they're just parked up. Solar panels on the roof. We can get some bi-directional charging for these buses. They can feed back into the grid. The schools can possibly charge up during the day, use a bit of that electricity getting the kids home. Then over the weekend, they're charging up on solar again, selling that energy back to the grid at nighttime. It's just hugely exciting. And $500 million is a great step in the right direction. Cannot wait to see what this landscape looks like in 10 years' time. Hugely exciting. And just a quick mention of Jay Leno, because he had the Ford CEO Jim Farley over at his garage. The blue oval big boss came around to show Jay the company's most recent electric vehicle, the F-150 Lightning. And this is according to Inside EVs. So the video that Jay Leno put out over the weekend. Now, in that video, the two of them were chatting and Jay wanted to know how difficult was it to sell the F-150 Lightning to the bean counters over at Ford. And Jim Farley admitted that it was extremely tough indeed. They talked a little bit about production numbers, cost of the vehicles, can they get this down cheap, how conservative do they have to be with the truck, how far can they push the boundaries, and what truck drivers are going to accept. So it's a really exciting time for Ford with the F-150 Lightning now really hitting production and getting into customers' hands. It's great to see, and I cannot wait to see how this thing goes, because I just got to watch videos. We're not going to see that over here in Ireland. We're not going to see it in Europe, really. These things are just too big for our roads, and we don't have that truck culture over here either. I mean, God, you might see, we get some of the Ford Rangers, much smaller versions. You see them floating around the odd time. Some tradesmen have them, but they're not that popular at all, really. Well, congratulations to the Volkswagen ID.4 GTX, and it has set a new Guinness World Record for EVs. What's happened here? Well, a chap called Rainer Zeitlau, he's now a world record holder for driving up the dormant Uturungu volcano in Bolivia, reaching a height of 5,816 meters in altitude. Absolutely incredible. So yesterday, May 23rd, Zeitlau and his team were awarded an official Guinness World Records certificate for the highest altitude achieved in an electric vehicle in La Paz, Bolivia. Great to see EVs been shown off for some of their benefits. The air is pretty thin up there, and it's something that combustion engines actually struggle with as they go up to these kind of heights. The air is a bit thinner, less oxygen, can't quite combust and get all the power. They tend to run out of a puff a little bit. But the EV apparently performed as well as it did down on regular altitude levels, and it's great to see that. So even with the air up there being a little bit thinner, a little bit less dense, perhaps they would have got better range. But then again, I don't imagine that there was beautifully tarmac roads up at nearly 6,000 meters. So maybe that wiped out the range there as well. Anyway, congratulations to Rainer Zeitlau and his team for getting that world record. Now, BMW and Mini might also be moving to agency sales models in Europe, according to a report in autonews.com. To give you a quote from BMW, we are currently talking with our European dealers about a move to a genuine agency model. Now, just to give you a bit of background on that, premium automakers in Europe, they offer dealer margins of about 12 to 16%, and amounts are going to vary according to the product and demand at the time and so on. But in the agency model, Sales commissions are expected to be roughly halved. Now, that's down to mid-single digit numbers. But on the other hand, the dealers, they won't incur the typical costs involved in inventory and promotional. That will be all absorbed by the manufacturer. But I just wonder, is this a sign of the times? We've seen it with Tesla. They just sell online. They don't have dealers. And we're seeing huge problems with Ford at the moment. Some of the margins that dealers over in the US are putting onto the trucks because they know there's so much demand and so little supply. We've heard reports of people cancelling orders and then the dealership just keeping that product stock, adding on a huge margin and selling it on. And Ford, and of course all manufacturers, they don't want this to happen for their customers. It gives them a bad look, a bad image. So I wonder, you know, is this the start of a major shift we're going to see around the world where the traditional dealership model is, you know, maybe not necessarily dying off, but certainly receding. On to the final story of the day, and that is the Citroën AMI, and we have got prices and specs confirmed for the UK. Really exciting. Now, this actually isn't a car. It's a small electric quadricycle, and you've probably seen photographs of it already, but if not, press pause right now, jump on the internet and check it out. It's so cool. Prices will start from £7,695. We're going to have three different versions available. There's the AMI Pop. You can trade up down to the AMI Vibe. And there's also going to be a cargo version of it. Now, they take out a passenger seat, but it's going to have up to 400 litres of space, which is absolutely whopper for a car that size. But what's the bones of it? It's got an 8 horsepower. Yeah, just 8. 8 horsepower electric motor and up to 46 miles of range from its 5.5 kilowatt hour battery. I mean, I just think this thing looks so cool. Time for a question of the week from emobilitynorway.com, and it is, what is your dream driveway? Now, there were two rules, as I mentioned yesterday, so you can have either two or three vehicles, and your budget is $150,000 or equivalent. So for me, that'd be €140,000. Now, I left that Citroën AMI story until last because folks have changed my mind. The Honda E that I told you I wanted yesterday, no, it's going back. Yeah. No, I'm doing it. It's going back. €20,000 I'm going to save myself, and I'm going to have the Citroën AMI, and I'm going to have the Vibe version of that. Oh, I love that little thing. Plenty of range and plenty of speed for pottering about town. Love it. Anyway, email your answers in to Martin. hello@evnewsdaily.com. And for the week that's in it, come and say hello. I'm up on Twitter @EVLifeIreland. Keep the conversation going there. Any particular stories, or let me know your choices of your dream driveway. Anyway, it would mean a lot to us, folks, if you just take a couple of minutes, leave a quick review on whatever platform you're listening to this. Really helps Martin grow the show and spread the message that we're trying to. So thank you very much to our premium partners. You are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village Cincinnati, Audi Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland. And I know he's got an embargo lifting on a couple of videos. I don't know if it's maybe later on today, so I'll be looking forward to checking those out. Richard@rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. emobilitynorway.com, Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map and one app. And millbrookcottages.co.uk, 5-star luxury cottages in Devon. Jump in the hot tub while your EV charges. Well, thanks very much for listening in today, folks. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. See you on the next one.